I want to continue what I started a few weeks ago, a short message entitled, When Loyalty Becomes Sin. You know, loyalty is a good word, as long as you're loyal to the right things. But whenever things begin to change and that which seemed to be right becomes that which is wrong, then it's time to remove your loyalty. I've listened to many people explain away why they didn't leave a school or a church that was going down the drain. I've listened to lots of different people say, well, I was just loyal to the leadership. I was just being loyal to the leadership. Well, if the leadership is taking a ministry or a church or anything in the wrong direction, then it's time to start thinking, where do my loyalties lie? Are they with men or are they with God? And it's difficult. It's not easy. Especially if you've spent a great deal of time, as we're going to learn tonight, about these men that have been with David for so many years as he's ruled over the kingdom. And loyalties were divided and shifted and changed, and all kinds of things were happening with the kingdom. What do you do? And there is a point when loyalty to a person or to an agency or an organization or a denomination or an association turns from being something that was good to something that was bad and then becomes sin. You know, I think we forget many times what the Bible says that we're to do. We're to lay aside every, what's the first one? Every weight and besetting sin. There's not a whole lot of preaching today on what is a weight. A weight is not sin. But the Bible commands me, I'm to lay aside every weight. That's something that keeps me from performing in my duties for Christ at maximum efficiency. You understand that? Anything that keeps me carrying out my duties for Christ and being faithful to Him is a weight. And what am I supposed to do? The Bible commands me, lay aside every weight and besetting sins. I think that there needs to be a reacquaintance with that verse of Scripture in our churches and in our places of worship today, because I'm afraid that we just think, well, that's not a sin. All right, it may not be a sin. What does the Bible say before that? Every weight. How many weights? Every weight. Boy, the Scripture is so pointed, is it not? Can't explain that one away. Every weight. You know, I ran track way back in sixth grade for Coach Campbell. Coach Dean Campbell was our track coach, and we were training because we were competing against other elementary and middle schools in track and field events. And he bought what I thought was the neatest thing in the world, Velcro sand weights. Now, I had never seen these before. And he brought them out. He said, I want you to put these weights on. Well, around my little skinny ankle, it wrapped about three or four times. And got it on there, and I had to really get used to that. Anybody ever put on sand weights to walk around in? You don't run in them. Okay? Football players use them to work out with while they're outside because they want them to be light on their feet. So they'll work out for 20, 30 minutes, and then they'll take them off. Boy, it's amazing when you take it off how you just start floating, all right? It's an amazing thing. Well, I can remember just looking at those weights, those sand weights. I can remember the color, too. They were red. And I remember how long the strap was because it went around so many times around my little skinny leg. You know, I had to try to get them to keep them from falling off. But Mr. Coach Campbell, he said, now, I don't want any dummies on my track team. I remember him saying, I don't want any dummies on my track team. And I said, well, Coach Campbell, you've already got a bunch of dummies on your track team. He said, I don't want to see anybody running with these things on. They're not meant for running. They're meant for you to learn how to strengthen your legs. At the same time, when you take them off, then you run. Nobody runs with the sand weights on. Now, that little message right there, I've always associated, every time I read that verse of Scripture in the book of Hebrews, where it says, lay aside every weight, I always think of those red sand weights from middle school. Isn't it funny how certain things kind of stick in your mind? And it's a reminder to us all, folks, that it's not enough to set aside the sin. Are you listening to me, young people? It's not enough to set aside the sin. Oh, good, I got my sin cleansed. What else are you to lay aside? Every weight. That which slows you down. That which drags you down. That which takes away your efficiency for God. I'm supposed to lay that aside too. And I want to tell you something. We have a lot of weighted people today in our churches. I think I can say that very clearly. We have got a lot of weighted people in our churches today that are excusing just about anything and everything that they do. How they live, what they do. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything against it. Wait a minute. What happened to every weight? Things that may not be directly a sin, but slow me down and keep me from honoring Christ. You need to think about that. I'm not going to preach any more on that. I just want you to think about that in relationship to what we're talking about with loyalty. Now, just a little reminder about what we're going to read. We're in chapter 20 of 2 Samuel, verses 1 and 2. And there happened to be there a man of Belial. Boy, the Bible just tells it like it is. A rebel. That's what the word Belial means. It means stubborn, rebellious. All right? There happened to be there a man who was a rebel, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. Now, the Bible gives details because we need to know. All right? Why does it say he was a Benjamite? Well, later on we're going to find he was a supporter of Saul's family. All right? When Absalom was killed, he had the great hopes of the Benjamite family being reinstituted into the throne, and it didn't happen. They brought back David. And so Sheba says, that's not what I want. I'm not going to support this. Every man, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. Now he's talking about the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes to the north. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. Now we have divided loyalties, mixed up loyalties here. 10 tribes to the north, they follow after Sheba. All their plans of a new throne, maybe someone from the family of Saul being reinstituted there, those are all been dashed because David's been welcomed into the city. So they said, we're going to take our marbles and we're going home. We're going to do something different. Now, think about all the mixed up loyalties that we've learned about thus far in this passage. All right? First of all, there was David and Absalom. Where was Absalom's loyalties? To himself. It wasn't to his father. It was to himself. It wasn't to God. It certainly wasn't to God. It was to himself. How about Amasa? He's an interesting character from the previous chapter who gets killed in chapter 20 by Joab. Amasa could have followed David. By the way, Amasa was one of the leaders, one of the captains of the hosts. But instead of following David, he stuck with Absalom, and Absalom put him in Joab's place as the leader of all the armies of Israel. So Amasa takes that position. He dies in chapter 20. Joab comes up and takes him by the beard to give him a kiss. And while he's kissing him, takes a knife and thrusts it up in him, kills him. Okay? Amasa's loyalties, they shifted away from David over to Absalom. Then you have Shimei. Oh, remember Shimei? Well, he's a character that appears several times in the book of 2 Samuel. The first time we see him, he's throwing rocks. He was a rock thrower. You ever met a rock thrower? You know, it just seems like certain kids, it's an amazing thing. You can put a handful of rocks out on a playground and the kids will find them. Of all the things out on the playground that would be interesting to do, like swinging, and going down a slide and climbing on the monkey bars, but kids are looking for rocks and they'll find them. And a rock never stays idle, does it? How many of you know what happens to a rock? It gets thrown. We have rocks at the bottom of our swimming pool. My brother spends a lot of time vacuuming up the rocks. Kid picks up a rock and then he sees water. And what do you do with a rock with water? You throw the rock in the water, right? That's what you're supposed to do with rocks. No. There's just something about it. There are rock throwers, and Shimei was one. He probably grew up throwing rocks in the pool there at the palace. And he saw David walking outside the city, was mocking him, cursing him, throwing rocks, kicking up dust. Things have changed now. Absalom's dead. And so we read about Shimei. His loyalty is with David. Oh, King David, live forever. Watch out for those phrases. When someone tells you to live forever, they don't want you to live forever. Okay? They're just saying that, but they don't. King, live forever. You know? My loyalty is back with you. I'm so sorry. I sinned. He used those words, by the way. I've sinned. And by the way, when David was dying, he pulled Solomon aside. He said, I want you to watch out for Shimei. I want you to watch him because he will stab you in the back. So you better put a hedge about him and watch him like a hawk. And what happened to Shimei later on? David was right about him, estimated him right. And he left the city of refuge where he was supposed to stay, and Solomon had him killed because he had violated the king's commands. Not only did Shimei have some issues, but Mephibosheth. Remember back when Mephibosheth had joined and stayed there in the city, and Mephibosheth's servant had left and brought food and animals and clothing and all that stuff to David when he was on the Mount of Olives, when he fled from the city? Mephibosheth stayed there, and there was some talk about the fact that because he was from the house of Saul, he might even have a leadership position. But we find here in chapter 19, Mephibosheth comes and shows himself before the king and bows down before him and basically says, I am so sorry about what happened. I should have fled with thee. I did not. And David says, well, what's done is done. I gave your property to your servant and I'm not changing it. You've lost the property that belonged to your family. Now it belongs to your servant. And he said, O king, whatever you say, I will follow. Mixed up loyalties. All right? Then we find Barzillai. Now, here's an interesting elderly servant of God that didn't get mixed up in his loyalties. He was faithful. Though he was tempted, they wanted his money. They wanted his authority, his presence. He was a wise man. But Barzillai says, my loyalty is with David, and I'm going to stay with him. While David was in exile outside the city, it was Barzillai that continued to bring food and clothing and took care of David while he was outside the city of Jerusalem. And when David crossed over the Jordan, he invited Barzillai to come with him. He said, listen, I will let you live in the palace and I will take care of you for the rest of your days because of the kindness that you have shown to me. And he said, my taste buds aren't like what they used to be. And I've got everything that I need back at my house. I'm going to stay there, thank you, but no. And so he showed his loyalty, but he said, King, I can't do that. I'm going to stay home and I'm going to live out the rest of my days there. Chapter 19 is a mixed up bag of misplaced loyalties and properly placed loyalties that were there. Only a handful stuck with David. Zadok the priest, Abishai. There are a couple of others that we learn about that stayed with David. Now, the whole scene reveals to us a couple of things that I want to emphasize. First of all, the fickleness of the human heart. Your heart, my heart, they're fickle. We change, we shift, our loyalties aren't what they ought to be. And you know what? It's because we have a sinful heart. And we need to know that about our hearts. It seems like that these people were just switching on a dime. When Absalom came to power, Mephibosheth, Shimei, Amasa, all these others, they all went over him, there with him. All right? Hushai was another advisor that stayed. Ahithophel stayed with King Absalom. All these people shifted their loyalties away from David over to Absalom because everything looked so promising. But they were all wrong. They were all wrong. And some of them lost their lives. Ahithophel committed suicide. Absalom was dead. And by the way, it's an interesting thing. When you study that chapter that deals with Absalom's death, it talks about the wood of Ephraim. And it talks about that more people died in the wood of Ephraim during that rebellion than were slain by the sword. That's an interesting phrase. It seems to indicate that the woods devoured these people. And by the way, in the wood of Ephraim was also where Absalom was caught up in the tree. And it's my personal opinion, but I believe that God caused that tree to grab him and snatch him right off that horse. God has that kind of power. More were devoured by the wood of Ephraim than were slain by the sword. I think that God prepared the wood. All right, you're coming to life today. There's going to be some of those people that are God rejecters, and we're going to take care of them today. And whenever they came by, trees grabbed them, God took care of them. God can do that. He's sovereign. I encourage you to study that passage of Scripture. It's very interesting. The contention of chapter 19 is a great lead into chapter 20. Mixed up, messed up loyalties. Now things changed. People started coming back to David. There was a big hurrah between the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes, but here was Amasa, and he was going to come back over to David after Absalom was dead. But he didn't live long enough. As a matter of fact, he delayed a command that was given to him by David. If you look down here, verse 4 of chapter 20, "Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him." Why did he do that? I think he was still struggling. Am I going to really go over full with David after joining with Absalom? Do I really want to do that? He delayed. And Joab took advantage of that delay. He said, all right, I see what kind of a rascal you are. And so he took his life. He said, you're not going to pull any stunts on my king anymore. This was your last time being disloyal to him. And so Joab took him off the scene. But here is the question. When does what I call brand loyalty become sin? When does brand loyalty become sin? There should never be loyalty at all costs to anyone or anything other than to Christ. Now, did you hear me on this? This is very important. There should never be loyalty at any cost, that's my key phrase, to anyone or anything other than Christ. You can be loyal to men as long as men are loyal to Christ. You can be loyal to leadership as long as leadership is loyal to Christ. But when men become disenchanted with Christ, he's talking to somebody, telling about a situation up north in the church that he used to pastor. Terrible situation. The pastor, young man, announced to the church, he said, our church is going into a new movement called Acts 29. And the theme of this group is that we want to teach people to belong before they believe. Now that, folks, is error. You can't belong to Christ until you believe. Whenever Paul was in the Philippian jail, he didn't say, oh, brother, belong with us for a while and then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he say that? No. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that. But the Acts 29, by the way, you don't have 29 chapters in Acts, do you? So what is that? That's adding to the Scriptures. There's a curse associated with that, by the way, when you add to or take away from the Bible. The whole concept of Acts 29, they've written a new chapter, is that we are to belong. So what they did is they went out and they brought in a whole bunch of people to join the church. And you know what they did? This group of people tried to take over the church. They wanted to get rid of the Bible. They wanted to get rid of all those things, and it got out of hand, and that pastor didn't know what to do. And so a few of the deacons and elders got together and they got rid of the pastor and they got rid of all the people that were there. They weren't believers in Christ. They were trying to go against the Scriptures to form a church. You can't do that. And it said there were a lot of hurt feelings. A lot of hurt feelings that came out of that. But it just took one pastor to be disloyal to Christ. That's what it took. And then that brought all those problems and so forth into that church. He said it was awful. He said, I went up there to try to patch together what we could and find him another pastor that was going to be loyal to Christ and to His Word. Be careful, folks. You be loyal to Jesus Christ at any cost. But whenever men begin to lead in directions apart from this book, not apart from your personal opinions, not apart from what you think, but what's based in the Word of God, then you have to say, all right, we're going to have to be loyal to Christ. Loyal to Christ. Now, no man, woman, organization, church should ever demand brand loyalty outside the parameters of Scripture. Now, do not misunderstand. Treachery is never acceptable. Trying to destroy a church, okay? Trying to destroy that you disagree with. The best thing for you to do is just leave quietly. Just leave quietly and go some other place where you can worship the Lord. Don't try to tear it all apart and destroy it, because then you become part of the problem. You become a weight and a besetting sin in that situation. So I'm not talking about that. It's never acceptable to rip apart something to show your force or your influence. Then it becomes about you instead of about the Lord. My point is this. Sometimes brand loyalty can become sin when it means violating the principles of the Word of God. This passage of Scripture shows how fickle humanity is in following others. Every night we have to look on the news to find out what the popularity rating is for our president and for our members of Congress. Don't you get tired of seeing that? What difference does it make? We know people are fickle, you know. I think dirt has a higher popularity rating than what our politicians have up in Washington. I mean, it's sad. But there are some people that live and die by popularity, and they make their choices based upon popularity. If a person's popular, they put me in there. Wait a minute, whatever happened to right and wrong? Right and wrong. Things get convoluted in people's minds, and we start moving away from right and wrong, and we move into the realm of how I feel. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Well, how do you feel about your country? How do you feel about your president? How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? Wait a minute, what difference does my feelings make? What's right and what's wrong? That's what matters. I shared with the faculty and staff yesterday in our time together in Romans chapter 1. The Bible tells us that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Notice those first words. They did not like. What was their decision based upon? Emotions. Well, I don't think I like following God anymore. I don't like this God stuff. I don't like. Be careful, folks. That's nothing more than paganistic humanism. Paganistic humanism. And I'm telling you, it's rampant in our churches today. Well, we don't make decisions based upon what the Bible says, what's right and what's wrong, but rather we make them how we feel about it. Well, if you trust your feelings, then you will be disappointed greatly. How would you like to operate your marriage that way? Well, I don't feel like staying with you anymore. I'm out of here. How would you like to make decisions based upon that? No. We love each other. We've come together because this is what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And we're going to love each other. And we're going to care for each other. And we're going to keep our hearts to each other for all of our days. All right? But what happens? What are the reasons for divorce today? Incompatibility. You know what that is? We're not emotionally connected. That's what it means. In a lot of these cases that happen. Now, there are some bad people out there. There are bad marriages, bad people, and I've had to speak to some that I recommended that they get out of it because it meant bad things. Abusive situations, really bad. But I'm going to tell you something. We've come in America to the day where emotions rule and they cause us to have misplaced loyalties. Our loyalties just shift and flit around. We're like the silly dove that Hosea talked about that flittered between Assyria and Egypt. Oh, I'll be loyalty to Assyria. Oh, no. I'll be loyalty to Egypt. You know, nobody wants to have... young people, they start thinking about boyfriends and girlfriends. They get up in high school age and start thinking about that. And, you know, you think back in your days whenever you started to like girls They start getting in it with some. Today they start noticing them in the fifth grade. But the ones that we try to train, hopefully they come to the place where they begin to understand, and you see the other thing. You know, and then you start looking for loyalty. And you start liking some girl, and she doesn't know it, but you want her to be loyal to you. The convoluted thinking of teenagers, you know. I really like this girl, but she doesn't know I exist. And she was talking to another boy today, and they go into a state of depression, you know. Can you remember back to those high school days whenever, the exchange of loyalties was just about, well, who is so-and-so going with this week? Or who is so-and-so going with? We had to do away with that kind of stuff at Santa Rosa Christian Academy because it got to be so crazy, and we weren't thinking about school. But it still goes on in the mind and in the heart. Listen, folks, God wants us to be loyal to Him. And He wants you to be loyal to the right kind of people. Listen, young people, let me just say something to you. When you're making the big decisions of life, would you go to somebody that's trustworthy and loves God to get advice? Don't go to your friends. Well, I'm going to go to my friends. You're making the biggest mistake of your life because friends will just tell you what you want to hear. The greatest advice that was ever given to me was Dr. Hobbs said, whenever you get advice from someone, always get someone that's older than you are, that's been down the road, somebody that loves God. They love God with all their heart. Go talk to them. Because if they love God with all their heart, they've got something to say. If you go out to somebody that's the same age as you are or close to the same age, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, and that'll make you so happy till the disaster happens and all the wheels fall off the wagon. What happened? You listen to advice from somebody that's the same age as you are. Learn to ask, well, they're not going to tell me what I want to hear. Well, good, maybe that's what you need to hear. Maybe it doesn't line up with what you want. That's emotions. Reason says, you know what, I need to know what's right. And I don't know, I'm going to go get some advice. And you know, godly people can give good advice. People that have been down the road of life, they face those kind of things. They can give you some sound, good advice. You need to seek it out. These people that ran after Absalom, every one of them, you can go through and underline them in your Bible. They were people who were seeking position. They were seeking power. They were seeking something for themselves. And you never make right decisions when you have that kind of heart. You'll never make the right kind of decisions. You'll always fall flat on your face sooner or later. The wheels will come off the wagon, and then you'll be sitting in the middle of the road, and you'll say, what happened? Everything was going so good. We were going down the hill here. And the wheels came off. Yeah, that's right. Because you didn't trust God. Every one of these people were living with disappointment, and Sheba was one of them. We're going to stop here. Sheba was a man that just never got it. I need to be loyal to God's leader. And that's David. All he could see was Benjamin, tribe of Benjamin, families of Benjamin. Family loyalty, brand loyalty. Better watch out for that. I told you about the illustration about the boy that was so loyal to his Ford that he wouldn't park it by a Chevy because he couldn't stand the thought of his Ford being next to a Chevy. Now that's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. There's no rational thinking behind that, you know. Unless the person that drives a Chevy keeps banging the side of your Ford, then you need to park somewhere else or not park so close. My point is this, folks. You better examine your loyalties. Who am I loyal to? And if self is up at the top, you've got a big, big problem. It's the biggest spiritual problem that you're facing in your life right now. If it's loyalty to me, what's working for me? How is this going to affect me? Instead of what's right, what does God want me to do? They're worlds apart. They're going diametrically opposed to each other, going in opposite directions. Self and God. And your loyalties will be mixed up and messed up. We're going to look at this further in the future here as we continue through this chapter because we're going to see how the disloyalties panned out compared to the ones that were loyal. It's an interesting study, folks. You need to read through this passage. Everyone that sided with Absalom ended up a disaster. And everyone that sided with God's man and were loyal, God blessed them. Took them on the good road of faith. Mephibosheth is the only one that we know of that because of his crippled condition, he went back and he repented and he was allowed to go forth. The rest of them that did not repent were destroyed. That's what disloyalty will do. Misplaced loyalties when you don't honor what God wants to be honored. God help us to have the right kind of loyalties.